The demand of commodities, fine chemicals, aroma compounds, proteins, or medicines such as antibiotics is increasing worldwide. However, conventional biotechnology production processes based on monocultures of microbial flora are reaching their limits. So how can new, more efficient production routes be created by scale-up that not only meet demand, but are also economically viable and sustainable? Roughly speaking, this is what the DFG Priority Program Interzell is about. We will be exploring this topic piece by piece with our podcast, Lab Whispers of Bioengineering. Fungi are used for the production of antibiotics or other active ingredients. They have been used for thousands of years to produce foods such as bread, beer, and wine. Now it is recognized that fungi-based material has the potential to transform a petrol-based industry into a sustainable bioeconomy. This could be a factor in mitigating climate change. Today we are discussing these topics with three researchers, Professor Vera Meyer from TU Berlin, Heiko Briesen from TU Munich, and Peter Neubauer, TU Berlin. Would you like to briefly introduce yourselves? How long have you been researching in the field of bioengineering?
So my name is Vera Meyer. I am a fungal biotechnologist by training, and I just realized that I've been studying fungi for more than 25 years.
My name is Heiko Briesen. I'm affiliated with the School of Life Sciences at TU Munich, and we're working on food and bioprocesses since about I started here 15 years ago, with fungi specifically about 5 years.
My name is Peter Neubauer. I'm a trained microbiologist, but I worked in bioengineering since many years, since the early 1990s. While I worked with many microorganisms, the area of fungi is relatively new for me. So I came in contact with this together with Vera a couple of years ago in a very nice material-based project.
How did you become involved in the overall Interzell program?
Actually, it was a nice mixture of other projects that came together. So I had a research project together with Heiko. I had another one with Peter, and then was the call about Interzell. And then I thought, wow, it would be cool to work together with the three of us. And basically, the cool thing about this Interzell is that it's the first program, priority program, that starts to understand how microorganisms or organisms per se grow, communicate in co-culture. And co-cultivation is something that is prominent in nature. So Robert Koch was the one who introduced single cultures. And since then, 150 years, we are studying microorganisms or organisms in single culture. But the reality is different. One organism lives together in a habitat with other organisms. And this is basically the aim of Interzell, to understand how communication and metabolic production works when you bring one, two, three, four different organisms together.
Maybe I can add a short note on the non-technical issues. I love in Interzell that this is that there are so many highly motivated young researchers which come together in these type of projects. We always aim for that on collaboration, but in this type of funding schemes, this works out really great and brings these young researchers really close together and working with each other. And this is what, like most of these type of priority programs in general, and which works out very nicely here also in Interzell.
That sounds great. What about a highlight? Have you had any highlights so far?
One of the main highlights, I would say, is just the use of a technique that we in biotechnology were not using so far. It is called microcomputer tomography, which means that you use X-rays to look into cells and into cellular structures. And this is a technique Heiko brought into our project. And with this, we are now able to look at the interaction of a filamentous fungus and the filamentous bacterium. And because they are interacting, they change their metabolic profiles. They start to produce compounds from which we think, we hope, that we can use them for in any kind of or different kinds of application. So for me, the highlight really is the synergies that come from this micro-CT technology, from the technologies we have in our lab, so genetic engineering, and the technologies that come from Peter Neubauer's lab, which is scale-up and scale-down techniques. I think the highlight is really that these kind of priority programs bring people together who work in completely different disciplines, and all of a sudden they realize, wow, there's a research question we can answer together.
Scientifically, from our side, was a highlight that we could really imitate in a special reactor type, kind of shaken bioreactor, the conditions and set the conditions from industrial scale fermentation. So we have the big challenge with fungi that they are forming pellets, pellet-like structures or micelles, and in a normal standard scale, standard bioreactors, at higher cell densities, the medium gets very viscous. And in this shaken bioreactor, we can differentiate between power input on one side, which would destroy the pellets, and despite this, get a high oxygen transfer to the bioreactor. So by the addition of particles, talcum, yeah, we can really set the conditions independent from the power input, which enables us really to set different physiological characteristics to the culture.
Well, then I will ask Heiko now. Heiko, you hold the chair of process systems engineering at the Technical University of Munich. In a publication this year, you and your team described how the growth of fungi pellets can be tracked in high resolution 3D. Can you tell me a little about the aspects of this?
Yeah, Vera already mentioned the micro CT, and you can just imagine this as when you go to the doctor and take a CT for yourself, you have a body scan, and we treat the pellets basically as patients, put them under this CT and get three-dimensional information. And we started building up this technique with our own CT in our own lab, but then realized that we cannot deal with too many samples, and went to the synchrotron device at Hamburg. And there, the important thing is you can measure much more pellets than we could ever possibly deal with. So we were able to scan about 20,000 pellets, 20,000 different fungal elements, so to say, and really characterize them in the way Vera sketched it, in their full morphology. So this whole network you see in these pellets could be fully tracked and fully analyzed. It's a bit difficult to talk about such a visual thing on an audio-only podcast, obviously, but it's really the three-dimensional structure looks very intriguing and is important for the transport phenomena, for the stirring, as Peter mentioned, and so on. And this is we could track over time. We developed these image analysis techniques over several years for single pellets and so on. And this is basically the highlight we have right now, to have a full process been tracked over time for such many particles with such high resolution.
And Vera, you are the chair of Applied and Molecular Microbiology at TU Berlin and research on microorganisms and fungi. What fascinates you about fungi? And can fungi do more than we give them credit for?
Well, I believe that the questions mankind is facing now, the challenges, we cannot answer without the knowledge of fungi. So these are the only organisms that can fully degrade lignocellulose. So this is plants consist of. And when we want to move from a fossil-based economy towards a bio-based economy, and a circular economy that is using renewable feedstocks, we have to rely on plants. And so the conversion from plant biomass towards, be it medicines, be it materials, be it textiles, be it food, whatever, we need a fungal biotech for this. So that's the reason why I've always been fascinated in these applied projects where we study the application, the potential application potential of fungi. And so they are masters of decomposition, I would say, but they are also masters of biosynthesis. So very complex molecules. You see in the world of filamentous microorganisms, so filamentous fungi and filamentous bacteria. And what drives me and also my team is we really want to contribute to a better future. And we are convinced that the knowledge on fungi and their application can help us to achieve a greener future.
Yes, it sounds like the possibilities are almost unlimited, but is that true? Like, can you produce things like alternatives to plastic bottles or gloves in hospitals, for instance, things like that?
Yeah, you can. So sometimes it's just the collaboration between fungi and bacteria. So for example, certain bioplastics are nowadays produced by bacteria, but the pretreatment of the substrates bacteria are using, this happened by fungal enzymes. So the biotech of today is a collaboration also of different microorganisms. But at the very first step, we have the enzymatic, the metabolic capacities of fungi. And yes, there are different other biopolymers that are produced only by fungi. Think of scleroglucan. So I could give you a list of many of these. But you could fungi can also be used only for the production of bioplastics.
Where do you see the biggest obstacles and challenges, and how do you want to meet them?
One of the big challenges I see in connection to really get the parameters for the models is measurement technologies today. And the challenge is that for bioprocesses, we have very few technologies which can measure directly or characterize the system online. That means while the experiment is running. And this is something we are interested very much in our research, to think about new technologies like inline microscopy, like Raman spectroscopy and others, to get more information at the time when the experiment is running, to have a better control, which is a big challenge also, especially for co-cultures, which are very difficult to establish in a robust, reproducible way.
And what about milestones? Are you working towards specific milestones? And will it be possible to transfer the research to an industrial scale?
It's generally so that fungi are used as industrial producers, so they are already used very much in industry. Also, co-cultures, uncontrolled co-cultures, are used very much in industry. If you think, for instance, in connection to the biogas process, if you think about wastewater treatment and others. But what we investigate here, and what is really new, to have controlled co-cultures of two or three different species and to understand how really the interaction between these organisms is. So the aim of this project is not directly going in an industrial process, but by understanding these systems, this could influence our future way of how we think about biotechnology and how we exploit really new questions.
Following up on what Vera said, she described it on this biosystems level. And as I said, we're trying to do this implement this on the process level. And I would love to see then interaction patterns on these heterogeneous populations there. And I think it's hard to predict the behavior intuitively. And I would love to see some non-intuitive behavior of these cultivations, and then basically big discoveries do not start with eureka, but they start with that's funny. And this is kind of what I like to see during the evolution of the next phase of the project.
Well, it certainly sounds like your team is revolutionizing the world of biotechnology. I'd like to thank you so much for being here today, Professor Vera Meyer from TU Berlin, Heiko Briesen from TU Munich, and Peter Neubauer from TU Berlin. Thank you so much. It was very interesting.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.